The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
On a Thursday, it's Cody and Gold. Emphasis on Cody is here today.
Hi.
What's up? What's going on?
It's not much.
It feels like it's been 3 weeks. It's
honestly
been like 10 days, I think, maybe.
You think it would have been longer because it was like six shows that essentially you and I didn't do together?
Yeah.
Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday last week, and then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week feels like forever. It took me a second to like get used to being back in Kansas City.
I was hoping you're just going to come back completely different look, new hairstyle, no glasses, just completely just throw
just
everybody off.
Just who I was.
Just what Dallas did to you. I don't know, or Arlington or Fort Worth, wherever the hell you were at.
Fort Worth, which is essentially the Dallas area. We were in that area a couple of times over the course of the trip. So, yeah, I'm back.
Welcome
Dan's
back.
Dad duties are done for the season.
Are you sure?
Her dance won't start back up until August, you know, when classes will begin or whatever. The major trip is always in the summer. The recital time, right? Usually in the winter or spring, but I'm back. Fully back.
Jay Binkley was filling in for a bit. I'm sure you, through the text line, will get filled in on a few moments that happened while you were gone.
I did hear a couple of like, hey, this is... So if you guys would, catch me up on exactly everything I missed.
Mm-hmm.
I heard by the time... I think that there's like... There's a couple of things I've noticed, and this happened when you and I were gone. We were at Nick's wedding in California. I feel like I've heard that essentially there's like a, you know, like people say, well, I have a certain social battery. I think that Drew has a Jay Binkley battery. And there's like a moment where Drew's like, I need a day. Like he just, him and Binkley after like,
denying, but...
after like 5 days, he's like, I need a day.
Yeah.
And now he gets it because I'm back.
Yeah, exactly. There was talk. Yeah, that you missed the whole wedding ring conversation thing for
what
a while.
About it? Me not wearing one or somebody else?
Well, so it's funny you say that. So there was a whole thing.
I had to drop a haymaker on Bink.
You missed it. Drew had one of his best lines in his time on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Bink was giving him a hard time because Drew hasn't worn his wedding ring. Now it's been like a week or so. But at one point, he just wasn't wearing it. Well, like, at first, he wouldn't answer the question.
It's been a while now, actually.
Yeah. We noticed it. Then Bink was pressing him like, hey, so where did you put it? He's like, Cody never wears his. and he just kept responding. Cody never wears his,
Sleep.
I wasn't throwing you under the bus. I was just making a case in point that Bink never mentions it regarding you.
Sure.
Then this
and we
came
said,
up.
Yeah, Cody's established a long time ago, him and his wife, for whatever reason, they just usually don't wear the wedding rings. And then finally, Drew got sick of him asking about it one day. And Drew goes, well, Bink, you've lost both of yours.
Wow.
Which was a great moment.
Shot fired.
It was a great moment.
I'm kind of sad I missed that.
Yeah, it was good. Drew had a nice moment there.
He lost them like, oh, no, where'd they go?
Well, obviously. Yes, that's the joke.
Correct.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
That's
the point. Yes. Everybody picked up on the joke as well. But yeah, you were dance dad for a little while there.
Yeah,
Bink kept asking if you were going to sing or dance. And I said, I don't think so. I go, if he was asked, he might, but I don't think he's going to volunteer.
I can't dance, but they do a charity, you know,
did
they
you do
could
that?
Include dance. I did not.
Could you? Like, honestly, could you?
I could have.
I am
allowed to.
You should have done it.
My daughter made it to, once again, I was heavily considering bribes because what happened? Cause my instinct I think is to like, can I grease the wheels here a little? There was two straight. Friday and Saturday night, there was a charity dance-off. And it can be kids, adults, moms, little kids, doesn't matter. And my daughter really, really, really always wants to do them. But we're always a little hesitant because it devastates her. Like, when she doesn't get selected, she is crushed. And so, day on Friday, they do, and it's 160 kids. And they narrow it down to like 20. And so she's in a group with, and this is unfortunate for her, she's in a group with, a little kid. You know, it's like two. Obviously, they're going to select the two-year-old for doing it, right? So there's just nothing to be done about it. She doesn't get selected. She's crushed. So then on Saturday, she's like, no, I want to do it. I understand I can't win and like every time. And I'm like, I just gave it. It's for charity. If I just donated money to this charity, will they just get her to the next round? I didn't do that because it wasn't fair to the other kids. She did get through to the next round and then made it to the championship round. Didn't win, but like made it to, so it was all
that was okay. She was happy with that. Okay.
So avoided. I don't want to add competition. I don't want to get like in a group with her or do those things. So I don't do the charity thing in the hope that it gives my daughter a better chance to advance. Like, I feel like there's just, I don't want to do it. Honestly, I can't dance.
Did you do did you do the one thing I asked you to do while you were there? The one thing
you wanted me to go to the thing in Dallas.
I needed you to do that because I want to do it, and you were right there. There's two things that you didn't do.
I did not go to the thing in Dallas. You asked me to do that.
You dropped the ball on two things. One is even more upsetting than we thought.
What was
going
the other one?
One was I wanted you to go to the Cosm place.
I didn't go to Cosm.
Okay, that's
fine. The schedule
fine.
Didn't align. Fair enough. It didn't work out.
The second thing is just inexcusable, especially for this show. You were within 15 minutes of Jack Caglione's in Texas
and
against the Rangers. You could have been there the day he hit two home runs, when are still the only two home runs, obviously, when the offense actually existed for this baseball team briefly for a few days. You could have been right there. Could have been right there. And that was before we were starting to get worried. We were saying, man, if Cody comes back and Cags doesn't have a home run, then the song is a problem. We were about to say the song is a problem. The Royals, initially, the Royals had lost six in a row after your song. You know that, right?
Yeah, I did know that. And then they won four in a row, and I thought, okay, problem solved.
That's right.
We're right back. Because that's the whole thing. Like, while I was gone, they lost. They were starting to lose before I left. They continued to lose while I was gone. And I'm like, oh, my God, by the time I get back on the show, are they going to be in some?
Man.
And then they won four games in a row, and I thought, okay, fine. I'm not going to have to come back and be like, no, they shouldn't fire Q because the team can't hit a homer or no. And like, I thought we were going to be able to avoid some of the conversations that had existed before I was gone. And then they just go back and lose.
Well, that's
every home game before I return. It does feel a little bit like deja vu. By the time we arrive, we're here back saying still can't hit homers, pitch really well. Defense has still been an issue for this team that we probably haven't highlighted enough throughout the time that they've struggled. And I'm right back wondering the same thing. They're stuck in no man's land. I would say if you're buying, I'd actually prefer you buy now. Don't wait and find out if you need to buy. You have to like do it immediately and try to solve some of the problems, not hope to do that. Selling you can wait on.
Yeah, it's funny.
Buying,
you and I haven't talked about the updated viewpoint of this because you've been gone or whatever. But no, that's essentially what I said yesterday with Vern, that, you know, if you were going to buy a rental or anything, then it needs to be done today. I don't want you buying a rental in 2 weeks or something like that. And if you're going to sell, that'll work itself out. We've said that over and over. But yeah, Cody, I mean, what we've seen this homestand, last homestand, this is maybe not the 9 straight home losses, but the offensive struggles, this is who they've been the entire season. That's nothing new. What they did in Texas was the outlier performance, but it's now 9 straight home losses, 7 straight losing home series. They've guaranteed that after the loss to the Rays. And of course, they'll wrap up their series against them this afternoon. We're, by the way, off at noon today. We'll hand things off to Vern. And then the Dodgers come to town.
Is it Lugo on the mound today? No, I think it's Lorenzen.
Lugo's this weekend,
yeah.
I believe. Yeah, Lugo's this weekend. And I don't want to sound like a broken record because, look, we have been talking about this offense over and over.
Yeah, we have.
But what's happening, like, you cannot say what's happening is all right and it's just on the players. You just can't. And as we said, like, teams with historically bad offensive seasons, a hitting coach that hasn't had great seasons in the past either, you know, you don't just say we don't hold the staff accountable. It's starting to feel, on a small scale, a little bit how things went eventually where everybody realized they needed to move on from Cal Eldred. But they just waited, and they were very loyal and patient and loyal and patient. It seems like if they continue on this historically bad pace offensively and they go through the rest of the season and it either doesn't get better and they don't make any staff switch at all, then it feels a little like the Cal Eldred situation where we'll be heading into next season saying, oh, boy, here we go again. And it'll be midseason next year before they make a move.
Here's the one funny thing about that is that I always kind of attributed the slow move part a little bit more to the Dayton era than it was to the JJ era. You know, I didn't think Cal Eldred was a good coach, and they had held on to him way, 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 way too long. I'll just tell you right now, you're once again in the position with your offense that you have to do something. Like, you changed the lineup before. Change it again. Hit Michael first. Hit Bobby third. I don't care. Do something. Just sitting around. Hit Jack Caglione 8th, and you don't have to. I understand that he's not hitting for power right now or for average, really, at that point. But do something. You can't just sit around and be like, today's the day, the offense will figure it out. That ain't it. That's not it. Because right now, my biggest fear is that their solution to the offense will be recalling MJ Melendez and Michael Massey and just hoping that that works the second time. Because now, obviously, we've seen that.
Well, if they don't buy
Rave and these others.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't buy, that's exactly what's going to end up happening.
But that's essentially just selling, in my opinion.
Well, that'll be in 2 weeks, or if this homestand ends up being an 0-6 homestand, but in 2 weeks, if they're 7 or 8 games plus under 500 and they're 7 or 8 games or whatever, roughly out of a playoff spot, then yeah, it'll be very obvious they should be sellers. And of course, Massey might get called up, by the way, like this weekend or early next week.
He's
anyway.
On his rehab assignment. He had a day.
Melendez is probably late July if they don't do anything at the deadline, kind of thing, and nobody at that, or unless he's part of a trade, by the way.
Massey's only taken like Rave's spot, in my opinion, in that scenario anyway, so that's not really changing anything about it.
There are no internal options left from a player perspective. There's not.
But you got to do something. Change the lineup.
It's the hitting, you know, the hitting staff. You cannot say status quo is fine. Yeah, the lineup thing, I don't get as hung up on that as maybe you do, and I know a lot of other people do as well. I would argue, the lineup, if we all agree the players are not performing and that there's clearly an issue with hitting, I'll hit lineup. Like, if you want to change it, that's fine. Like, what do you want the lineup to look like? It doesn't do anything.
It might be
deck
chairs on the Titanic, but it's better than nothing.
Yeah,
nothing
guess.
Is what they have been doing for the last, since the lineup change, I would say, that includes Michael Garcia hitting third. Nothing is what they have done.
And by the way,
done.
He's hit worse since he's moved to third.
I know, exactly. And so, and again, that goes back to him hitting leadoff. Michael Garcia and other players, depending on the player, work better in a scenario in which they are put in a good position. He was being put in a good position before, and it was working. I liked where he was hitting, and it was functional. Their problem is that they need an addition to the lineup so that everybody else can kind of go back to their spots. And look, the Jack Caglione stuff, I'm sure you guys have talked about that endlessly too. No, I'm not worried about a young player 3 weeks into their Major League Baseball
career.
Well,
it's just that if everybody's struggling to line up, then why would I think that the guy that's only been up for, what are we up to, 20 games now? Yeah. Why do I think that he'd be the one hitting?
If the other guys who have been in the league for 5, 7, 8 years weren't
going to, it's been a disappointing start for him, but the fact that the entire offense is stunk and they're having a historically bad offensive season, that, as far as like the bigger picture stuff with him, that's honestly, though, that would be my concern, bigger picture, with not having any hitting development and hitting change at the big league level from a coaching perspective.
Yeah, there's just got to be something. Movement is what we're looking for.
They don't hit the ball
regard.
Out of the freaking infield.
yesterday. And again, because
yesterday's plan approach was worse. Cody, they had a perfect game against them 2 nights ago from Taj Bradley through five innings.
Yeah.
Last night's approach was worse. Yes. You might be, how's that? It was worse. They were not patient at the plate, swinging at first pitches. Truly, like the effort.
Were they trying to set a world record for pop-ups?
For the first time, the effort looked like just laziness. Like, yeah. Usually I would say the effort's been there. That's not been a problem. Last night, it seemed like the effort wasn't even there. It's a mess. And look, when you've lost 9 straight games at home, obviously there's a psychological impact now that is happening with the team, too.
Yeah, that's the other part, is that now going out to the K feels like it's going to be a not good time. And you got to change at least that mindset, right? Gold, let's just say you were going to catch a nooner today from the office. You're a salesperson. You're like, you know what? I was going to go catch the Royals game. See if I can't see Jack hit his third big league homer. Right? I was going to go out to the K. Right now, the vibes at the K have got to be at a low. And this goes back to the same thing. I have said before in this show, and I still stand by this, I think we have always, especially as it relates to baseball, undervalued confidence. Where you are at a confidence point. Because when a team feels like they're winning, feels good about the winning, all those things, you can see it, you can feel it, it makes sense. You can absolutely kind of get like the flow and the rhythm to it. And they feel like the opposite of that right now. And I absolutely think that that's part of the issue as it relates to the Royals as it sits, is that they're just going into the K probably feeling like, you know, they're going to lose a game. And that part, you know, like, ugh, that's tough.
I mean, we're at the point where if they lose today and it becomes a 10-game losing streak at home, then like then they are three losses away from literally having an entire month of June winless at home. Like, that's someone would have to look at, when's the last time that's happened in baseball other than like than the White Sox maybe last year did it when they were historically bad, or the Rockies. But
maybe,
like,
but I mean, it's still hard to go 30 full days without winning.
Cody, they are four losses in a row away at home from that happening. They're not that far off from that being the case. They could have what is that, an 0-13 home record in the month or something like that.
I gotta say, I've not been worried about Jack Caglione's defense based on highlight plays he continues to make. Right?
Look, I hear you. It's nice to see, but it's so hard to get excited about any of that stuff right now. You know
I mean? I just meant, you know, like as far as still pitching. It's not.
I saw this yesterday. Since May 23rd, the Savannah Bananas have won as many games at Kauffman Stadium as the Kansas City Royals have.
I mean, it's not great.
Yeah, so that was a very popular tweet. People had like 7 different versions of that.
Yeah,
like, the first person got it wrong. They said in the month of June, the Bananas were here in May, but good effort. And then like somebody corrected it, and then everybody thought they were making the same clever joke last night. But
we get it. The Royals can't win at home and have not been able to win at home lately, and we hope that that changes tonight at the K. I was thinking about, you know, you're sitting around in these dance studios. It is sometimes painful amounts of time in between songs. So there's
Did you fall asleep ever?
No, I can't. It's like sleeping on an airplane. Never did take a nap. And I was mostly because, you know, like my wife has to help get my daughter ready. Desmond and I were palling around a lot. So like, you know, like I try to take him out to give him a break.
Much smoother operation this time.
Much smoother. Yeah. Yeah. No issues in that regard. Everything was smooth. The worst that happened to him is he got some blisters from walking. Him and I went to the zoo, just the two of us.
Oh, nice.
And he got a couple of blisters and he was like, I don't understand these. And you're like, it's fine. You'll be okay. Put a Band-Aid on and he was good. That was the worst case scenario for him. I will say, just real quick on another dance observation, and then I want to tell you what I was thinking about Chiefs related, and I was sitting in these halls. I saw not one, but two different kids dance to a Kanye West song. And I thought to myself, how on earth? One was in like a medley. One was a song. And I thought, I understand that you started practicing these in like September. Like my daughter started practicing so in like August or September. When he starts selling Nazi stuff, man, you got to get out. You got to get out.
Are they classic
dance?
Kanye songs like Graduation?
Yeah,
are they
but
like,
that doesn't matter.
Okay.
We've known he's crazy for a while, by the way, too. When you choose the medley in September, it's not like this is just all coming to light. I thought he was a perfectly normal dude. No, like R. Kelly, Kanye, Diddy, these are the ones that are off. I understand they got a lot of popular hits that you could probably
dance to. A lot of songs you got to erase.
I understand, dude.
Did anybody have Michael Jackson part of their thing? Probably were at a dance competition.
The third overall place in the, like, so our kids, our dance group got two total callbacks. One for their huge production number and one for a tap duo that two other kids did in the thing. There were probably like 45 dances that got callbacks. And then out of that, they choose the grand national champion or whatever. The Michael Jackson mix got fourth overall, and I thought, also not great. also not great, but definitely better than the three I just mentioned because of the time of it.
Yeah, I think as time goes on, things might change for some of them, like the Michael Jackson songs.
So let me tell you about the thing. Other than that, what I was thinking about. Other than the dance choices, which I have questions about occasionally, I was sitting around and I was thinking about the Chiefs. And I'm not, this isn't a Andy Reid is a bad coach or the game is completely passed him by conversation. But I did think that if the offense once again fails, this is kind of like the offense for the Royals. If the Chiefs offense once again falls behind the pack, they're 12th, 15th, 18th, have no big plays. It looks similar to the way that it did last year. I do think people will start the conversation of Andy's not adjusting to the offense part of the league. Because you can say Andy still knows how to win a football game, which I think is true.
Yeah, I mean, won 15 of them. Yeah.
And that Spagnuolo helps them stay up to date on the defensive end. That'll help them grind out even more wins. But if for the third straight year, the offense just looks, I'm going to start wondering if Andy's not seeing offense the way he should as it relates to modern football.
I get why that would be a thought. Totally. I would say, though, and this is where this year is going to be really interesting, and I know you're saying, hey, if it happens again this year, but we just know last year's plan going into the season got altered drastically
by
one Hollywood Brown against the Jags in preseason, then Rice against the Chargers in week four. And so it caused their initial plan of, I think, Rashee Rice being the focal point of the offense to completely go away. Therefore, Kelce was asked to do things that maybe at this point in his career is not where he's at. And then you're asking a rookie in Worthy to become one of your biggest weapons. And as the season went on, he developed into that and he had a very nice rookie season. So I want to see when, if it happens, Rice, Worthy, Hollywood with Kelce, with maybe a left tackle that can provide some competent play. We'll see. Does that just fix everything? My thought is, I think that fixes a lot of this. And we're talking about this offense being back in that realm of top 10, top five trend, category. But I would argue against, I would say last year, the fact that they were able to pivot the way they did and still find a way to get to 15 and all that.
Showing
in a weird way. Doesn't that show that Andy Reid is able to adjust to win football games? The name of the game, ultimately, it's as much as I love fantasy football, you love fantasy football, I love betting on over prop bets and all that. That's not Andy Reid is just, hey, win the damn game. Just win, baby. And that's what he does.
So I would say if it's a 1 year sample size, that's why I wouldn't have and didn't bring it up at any point last year. I would agree with you. This would be the third year now in a row where I would say the offense is below what I would expect a Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid-led offense is. So, sure, there are excuses individually we can give in individual years, and I think that a lot of those are logical and make sense. That's part of the reason why this year I would feel that way, Gold. For the previous 2 years, I agree with you. I actually think I look back at last year, and my instinct is to say, well, considering the talent you had on the field, you managed to scrape by a 12th ranked offense. And the fact that it was ranked 12th, considering just how wretched you were at the deep ball, actually kind of a positive sign. But as it sits right now, this feels like a pretty, now it's June 26th. We're barreling towards an excuse-free year. You're going to have Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, and Hollywood Brown all in a field together. You're going to have, maybe you're going to have a really good left tackle. You got a chance of Joshua Simmons as your starting
left
tackle.
But you and I both know, while fans would get frustrated, if I told you this team won 12 or 13 games, won the AFC West, where a top two seed in the offense was 11th, are we really going to freak out about that?
I know, because it will have to come with a reduction of wins. Well, 10 or 11. 10 or 11. Okay. I mean, because he still has had a win. They still got Patrick Mahomes. They can only lose so many.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think most of us recognize
like a Chargers team.
Most of us recognize they're not winning 15 games again. I think when we did our quick schedule look, I don't know, back in May, I think we both were at 13 wins.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, our very fast 13, 14. We were in that range. Something. I don't remember exactly.
We'll do it again before the start of the season.
Yeah. That'll be my official one once I've had some more time to actually think about it.
No, I just think in terms of adapting, that's where I worry the least about this current coaching staff is their ability to adapt in season. I mean, that's where Spags has been starting now these last couple seasons, but remember that was the whole thing with Spags a couple years ago. People would freak out as defenses would start slow and then they would make adjustments and they would end up being a pretty darn good defense. Heck, in game, Steve Spagnuolo, I still think makes better adjustments than any other defensive coordinator in football. There'll be plenty of drives in the first half where social media is panicking. Oh my gosh, you're letting them drive down the field. What are you doing? Second half, they shut them down. They make an adjustment. That to me is where this coaching staff thrives.
Yeah, I do think so. But I feel it with Spags. On the offense, sometimes it's like, hey, You're gonna do like in game. It's like Andy has a plan. Andy likes his plan. He likes his script. And last year, it might have just been that there were no adjustments to make when your leading wide receiver was a rookie they had taken in the first round that they didn't plan on counting on, a tight end who did not look as fresh or as healthy as we are accustomed to seeing, and a bunch of missing wide receivers outside the unit. I will say that one of the adjustments he definitely will not have made is if they put all this speed on the field and all these guys are healthy and they still average 4.5 yards a throw, I'll be like, Andy, people go deep in this game sometimes. We got to push the ball down the field occasionally.
But as you know, there's more
to actually keep these teams honest.
There's more context to that, though. Like, yeah. Is the left tackle situation fixed?
Yeah.
Is it average play, below average? Is it all of a sudden become elite because you hit a home run? Like, so much of that. We talked about this when you were gone, Cody. I think yesterday or 2 days ago, Warren Sharp put out numbers, and we looked at, hey, did you know the Chiefs, there were only three teams that had fewer completions of 25 yards or more through the air.
Yeah.
And they were only ahead of Arizona and I think Miami. But Green Bay led the league. That might have surprised you. But we found out, like, hey, the middle of the road on that is 12. If the Chiefs just had 12 of them, they'd be right in the middle of the pack.
Which is what I expect this year.
And there were two or three of those very plays that, you know, early in the season, Worthy and Mahomes were not on the same page. Worthy was stepping out of bounds. Mahomes was leading him too far out of bounds, whatever it was. And so if you just get a few more of those, that solves, I think, some of what you're talking
What's
about.
What's funny is I don't even anticipate that this will end up being the conversation. It's like having the precursor of, if this Royals season continues going this way, then Q will be on the hot seat game one next year for the Royals. It's not that I think Andy can't adjust. I do think he is the best, or I don't know, one of the three best coaches, whatever it is, in the NFL, and that would kind of come into play there. But I do wonder whether or not, like, you know, how do you get the deep passing game back involved again? Becomes the inevitable question, obviously, for the Chiefs.
All right, coming up next, I got a question for you about quarterbacks heading into their second and third year in the NFL. Plus, we'll talk a little about the NBA draft last night, some of the funny moments that occurred, and how much did you actually pay attention to it? That's next. All right, back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you here on a Thursday. Coming up in just a second, I've got a question involving second and third year quarterbacks in the NFL. But before that, the NBA draft last night, yesterday we were discussing it and Drew was asking how much I was going to watch. I said, I'll watch like the first 10 picks. And then I said, confusing because guys get drafted. They wear a hat that they don't even get drafted by a team. And then it gets confusing and tracking who's with what. And then I saw Scott Van Pelt had a whole monologue on it. And maybe that's what we need. We need someone, the national voice, to finally end this, because it's the most ridiculous thing about the NBA draft, that when they're interviewing, let's say, Walter Clayton Jr. from Florida, he's wearing a Wizards hat, and there's already a graphic on the screen that says the pick will be sent to Utah. We already know he's going to the Jazz. What do we do? Give him another hat. It's crazy. So that part is always annoying. I ended up only watching the first 5 picks, and then I was like, all right, I'm out.
Drew said, and I am not kidding, that he plans on watching round 2 tonight, to which Speck and I both responded. We were just listing off the things we would rather do
round 2 of the draft
than watch round 2 of the NBA draft. They included and are not limited to whittling a stick, going on a walk in the middle of this heat in jeans. Those are things I'd rather do than watch round 2 of the NBA draft.
I normally go on a walk round normally two, every man. Day, but not during the draft.
I'd rather whittle a stick on my porch like it's the 1890s.
I did watch the entire first round yesterday.
Round 2 is crazy. I understand if you watch the first round. Totally get it. You're an NBA guy, and if you got a team, that's not. Round 2 is a little wild. I just couldn't watch after the first 5 picks or so. It just gets very repetitive, and you get to the point, especially once you get
you miss
to some of the
some entertaining moments, though.
I know, but here's the thing.
Colin Cowherd getting drafted?
Did I really miss them, though? Because if there's a moment like that, I know it's going to be all over social media. Like, yes, there was a pick in which, was it Malika Andrews?
Yes.
Who said that Colin Cowherd got drafted.
So the Portland Trailblazers select Colin Cowherd here. This is a young man with the ultimate bet on yourself story.
It was an actual laugh out loud moment of excuse me.
Social media picked up on it very quick. Colin Cowherd had his team quickly mock up him in a Trailblazers uni. Now the kid's actual name is what?
Cedric Cowherd.
So how did we get to Colin?
CC and Cowherd,
It had to have been the Cowherd part. It
doesn't even work in ESPN anymore.
I know. For ESPN to do it, that also is.
They showed Ace I think
Ace
on,
of Bailey. Yeah,
they showed Ace him Bailey, on the screen, and it was, and it had said Cooper Flagg underneath it.
That's not Cooper.
It was a bad broadcast. Yeah. It was just a straight up bad broadcast.
The first pick we all know was gonna, we already knew it was gonna be Cooper Flagg, and there's all sorts of prop bets already out for him. For him to record a triple double in any game next year is -120. Like it's not even a plus money bet. Rookie of the year, he's -190 to be the rookie of the year. If he stays healthy, it's probably gonna be him. Yeah. If you bet on anybody else, you're basically betting on an injury for Cooper Flagg.
Wimby.
Ace Bailey at 8.5 to 1. Trey Johnson, the kid out of Texas, 8.5. Dylan Harper is actually in a really good spot. I like that at 12 to 1 if you're gonna take a flyer on anybody given the circumstance that he's going to be in. But yeah, the NBA draft, truly, like an SVP, it's funny that he did that last night because we were joking about on the show yesterday, because I really think it is crazy. Move around your league calendar if you have to. You guys get drafted and we don't even know what team they're going to. If you just look at a photo of them in their draft hat and stuff, that's just bad marketing by the NBA.
Well, there's the viral Kobe Bryant in a Charlotte Hornets hat. Yeah. Of course, you know.
Yeah.
It's been a thing for a long while.
Just don't put them in hats. Your league works different than the NBA. This is the only thing I give them credit for, the NFL. Other things, but at least they've made their draft like, at least I'll put it on. I am not interested in any other league's draft at all. I don't care about baseballs. I don't care. I didn't watch 30 seconds of the NBA's. Okay, Cooper Flagg's going to go first.
Like you said, if Casey had a team, but yes.
For sure.
I like the NBA, though, and we'll watch the NBA, Drew.
If we had an NBA team, we'd be more locked in. That's fact.
It would help, but I do understand why you wouldn't feel as...
But Drew, it gets
background noise-ish, as the NFL draft can be.
It gets, this is like the NFL, we know the names that are getting drafted. So after the top 5 to 10 picks this year, when you have, 10 international guys getting drafted and you get into
I don't know the player, but like the kid from China coming out of the crowd.
Yeah, Jan Hansen, drafted from the bleachers, he was.
Cool moment. He wasn't invited to the draft because nobody thought he was going to be a first-round pick. Uh-huh. And he just, spotlight on him, rises from the crowd and walks down. All right, kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But, I'm not sticking around. I'll just wait. Social media will tell me what happened there. That's all.
Yeah, NBA draft last night, round 2 this evening.
I think that's just the NBA as a whole, in all honesty, is that if you want something from the National Basketball Association, you can find it on social media. Where in the NFL, you can find moments, but in order to really understand the entire picture and how things really went, for the most part, you got to watch the entire game.
The only thing I'll say that was nice compared to the NFL as well would be, because now that Woj is out of the game, there was no pick spoiling.
Yeah, Shams did a nice job of holding back.
There was no, the NFL draft, if you're on social, you'll find out the picks. You guys were giving me, I was joking with you guys when we were at the landing for our draft party, and we're sitting there, and I'm like, oh, I already saw the pick. And you guys are like, don't tell me what it is. And it's because everybody's tweeting it out already. NBA draft, they did a good job of that. I'll say that was kind of nice that you had to watch in the moment to find out, we already know who was going number one, but pick 5, there was still some debate.
Questions about whether he'd be in the Utah Jazz because he openly said he didn't want to play for them, and then they drafted him anyway. A little bit of baseball news, nothing important, but Bobby Wood Jr. has officially been selected as the starting shortstop for Team USA in the World Baseball Classic.
I was like, there's
for
no
the Royals?
I was thinking All-Star game. I was like, he lost that vote to Jacob Wilson, or he's going to at least. Okay, good for him. That's awesome. No surprise.
Mark DeRosa announced that he'll be the starting shortstop.
Yeah, so. I mean, he absolutely should be. Are you kidding me? Absolutely.
I agree. Love Bobby Wood Jr.
We were talking about some of the guys getting drafted, young talent in the NBA. Flip over to the NFL, thinking about the second and third year quarterbacks that we're about to have in the NFL. And I feel like there's only one, maybe two names to even consider here. But if I were to ask you the second or third year quarterback in the NFL, you actually trust with the game on the line. We know the vets you trust. Patrick Mahomes would be the only quarterback I would ever want with the game on the line. He has proven that time and time again.
There's other guys I'd like with the game on the line.
The top
He's the guy.
Second and third year quarterbacks, though. So eliminate the vets. Second and third year guys.
You don't want to give me a first year and I just randomly say Cam Ward, even though I've never watched
There's
him
no
play
way
a snap.
That would be your answer. There's no way that'd be your answer.
Tyler Shuck. I'm a big Tyler Shuck guy with the game on the line.
It's actually Dylan Gabriel. what second or third year quarterback would you trust with the game on the line? The obvious answer, and I think the only answer, really, it's Jaden Daniels. That's it. And it's a small sample size. We're talking about second year quarterbacks now. But we saw Jaden Daniels come up in clutch moments multiple times last year, leading his team. I'm not even just talking about the Hail Mary, which was an insane play, but he had moments like that throughout. He seems like he kind of has it, that clutch gene. Jaden Daniels, the only answer I'll listen to. Second or third year quarterbacks, give me another one that you actually would want with the game on the line.
I don't even know. Okay, so the only other one that is probably worth a conversation that you know something about is CJ Stroud.
Okay.
Because Bryce Young, like, I'm not even sure he's a good starting quarterback yet. Let alone with the game on the line. He's never had a game on the line. His entire team has played two straight years without a single game that mattered at all. So,
I'm sure in his rookie year, he probably had a couple game-winning drives.
When they were, 2-11, and it was 2 minutes to go and they were down three. You know,
the Texans? They weren't 2-11.
No, not the Texans. I said Bryce Young.
Oh, Bryce Young. Sorry.
Yeah. Bryce Young. His entire... No. C.J. Stroud made the playoffs.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I thought you were talking about Stroud.
Bryce Young came in the answer. His team has never played a meaningful football game the entire time he's been the starting quarterback. I know he won an Natty. So, do I consider that part of it is, he won a clutch game once? Nobody else from that one. Anthony Richardson, Will Levis are the only two other quarterbacks in that, and they don't matter. And then it's Drake May, Caleb Williams, and Michael Penix, and J.J. McCarthy, and Bo Nix, who I would all argue are complete unknowns. I actually think you can make a decent argument for Bo Nix third if you wanted to enter the conversation, because at least his team was in close games and they won close games. But I'd still end up choosing Caleb Williams or the more talented guys that I don't know anything about, like Michael Penix, before I'd go with the stable body. Because again, it's not there.
Here's what's funny, though. I will
say, Daniels by a mile.
I think it is, and that was my first reaction. Then I looked up the numbers of game-winning drives. This is going to surprise. This stunned me because to me, Daniels is still who I would answer. Even after knowing the stat, I think I would still say Daniels.
Yeah.
Do you know that it's 1 year versus two? So let's keep that in mind. But Bryce Young, and I'm sure very soon, Jaden Daniels is going to pass these guys very quickly. But in 1 year, Jaden Daniels had four game-winning drives in his rookie season last year. Four game-winning drives, what they clarify and classify, I should say, as that. Bryce Young in two seasons has six. He's ahead of Stroud. Bryce Young has more game-winning drives than C.J. Stroud.
Is that every win he's had? Six wins might be.
Stroud has five of them. But yeah, that was surprising me that Bryce Young had one more in the same amount of years as Stroud, and actually fewer games played than Stroud, because remember, Bryce Young got benched.
And
he has six. Now, Jaden Daniels already has four, and he's played one full season less, so he's on a much better pace. But I was surprised to see that. If you're wondering, Bo Nix had three of them last year in year one. Anthony Richardson had three as well. Bo Nix and Anthony Richardson, same amount of game-winning drives.
Again, I take Bo Nix. I take a lot of guys over Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
That's not really up for debate.
I think Anthony Richardson would take somebody else as well.
That is, over himself. As much as I was being borderline sarcastic, that is every Bryce Young win. He has in NFL career won six NFL football games. So the only ones in which, to me, that's not
clutch. He's clutch, man.
He's always behind, and
he's
six times
team.
He managed to win a football
game.
He's on a bad team.
No, I would take Jaden Daniels, obviously, over Bryce Young, but I thought those numbers were interesting. If you were just wondering out of the veterans.
Maybe on a good team, he would be more clutch.
If you were wondering out of the vets, and these guys have played varying number of seasons, but Matthew Stafford currently is the league leader in game-winning drives. He's also been playing since 2009, but he has 49 of them. Russell Wilson, since 2012, has 40 of them. Derek Carr, who's now retired, but 35 of them. Aaron Rodgers is fourth. He's been playing since 05, though. He's got 34 active quarterbacks, a little bit younger, obviously under the age of 30 and everything. Patrick Mahomes has 23 of them so far in his career. He actually has the same amount of game-winning drives as Dak Prescott.
But I never look at this as being all that bad in the good quarterback standpoint.
Yeah, because you're ahead.
Because, it doesn't tell me he plays from ahead 90% of the time. A team's ability to come from behind sometimes, because I remember Philip Rivers used to be king of this stat. Philip Rivers, come from behind, kid. He wasn't a more clutch quarterback. His teams are just behind more. And if you're a good enough quarterback, you will win a certain number of those games, even though you are consistently behind.
That graphic on a Sunday Night Football, whatever broadcast they're doing, fourth quarter, all the time they cite the game-winning drives in his career or whatever.
I know the way Mahomes plays when it's the fourth quarter and overtime, and they have to have it. I know how he plays.
And that's why he's the overall answer to this, but out of second and third-year quarterbacks, it's Jaden Daniels.
Who's second, by the way, on your list, just out of curiosity? Can it be Josh Allen if he's never been to a Super Bowl? even though I think he's the second best quarterback?
Well, in terms of like clutch drives,
game on the line, 2 minutes to go, I need a touchdown.
Yeah, here's why. Here's why the answer can still be Josh Allen, because even in the 13-second divisional round game where we all remember, Josh Allen was answering the call.
That's got to be your example.
He,
yeah,
he scored with 13 seconds. What else was he supposed to do? You know what I mean?
I actually don't think it can be a quarterback if they've never been to the Super Bowl.
So you don't think you can be clutch if you can't if you can't get to the Super Bowl? You don't think you can be a clutch quarterback?
So then who's your answer? Jalen Hurts or Joe Burrow?
Yeah, there's only been
Brock
like,
Purdy.
In the Mahomes era, it's been Brady.
Only like three more answers.
It's been Brady.
Well, it's not going to be Goff.
Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, these are the only quarterbacks that have been in the Super Bowls during this era.
Damn, I guess that is the part that's hurting me a little
bit. You only have like four
Stafford?
Choices. Or five, yeah, you,
Stafford, Goff, Hurts, Burrow.
And Purdy.
Purdy and Garoppolo.
Well, it's not the other two you well, just listed.
These are the,
maybe it's Hurts.
You have like five options, yeah.
Maybe it's Hurts.
It's so hard for me to say it's Jalen Hurts, though, because like, with all due respect to him, and this is where like it's just unfair criticism, yeah. I guess. But like, I don't. He doesn't strike like if there's 60 seconds, you know, there's a minute left on the clock. I'm not picking Jalen Hurts to march me down the field. I'm sorry, I'm just not. And he's a very good quarterback. He's a top 10 quarterback, I would argue. But I'm not picking him over Allen or Burrow from just in this exact example.
The only one I could choose if Super Bowl was is Burrow. It's the only one I could choose and do that. How many come from behind victories does he have on there?
I just closed it. I
can find it.
No, I closed it. I'll find it again.
Probably not. I bet you he doesn't have more than 10.
I mean,
active quarterback.
They haven't won enough games as part of
that's,
it.
I bet you he doesn't have more than 10.
He's got 9. So, Drew, you were right there. Yeah, he's got 9. Daniel Jones and him have the same amount.
But I will say, like, this one more than even just the stat that you're giving. There is like an eye test, smell test part to it.
That's what I mean by it hurts. Yeah.
When I watch Joe Burrow in a 2 minute drill, I do watch a guy who like gets it done usually.
Compared to Daniel Jones,
nobody gets it done in the clutch all the time. But that's the thing. That's the thing I can't really get past with Josh. Josh Allen probably would be my choice of two, because the hardest thing to get past is like when it is like game is on the line and you better win this damn game. Josh Allen does that a lot. He does it against everybody not named Patrick Mahomes.
I was gonna ask how many Josh Allen had, because I don't think we answered Josh Allen.
Hold on. Let me pull it back up.
Or Lamar Jackson.
I'll leave it up for the rest of the show now, right?
At least for the rest of this segment.
Josh Allen is 11th in active leaders. He has 21 of them. He is 2 behind Dak and Mahomes. He's 1 ahead of Goff.
How many
does
Lamar Jackson have?
Lamar.
Yeah, obviously wouldn't be playoffs. Really?
For any of these.
Lamar is 12 of them. He's tied with Jalen Hurts and Baker Mayfield.
See,
they've obviously played different amount of years. Keep that in mind. But yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Would you rather, I think this is interesting in this conversation. Would you take Jaden Daniels or Lamar Jackson
in a game-winning drive
over a guy like Lamar. Josh Allen?
You'd have to take Lamar.
Because of the running?
You'd still have to take Lamar at this point, 1 year into Jaden Daniels' career.
I'm saying either of them compared to Josh Allen any of the other guys, or Stafford. Would you rather take Lamar Jackson in a game-winning drive or Matt Stafford? I think that's an interesting conversation.
Probably lean Matthew Stafford. He's just done it more.
I don't know if that's because you could also say, well,
I know you would say, well, Lamar can just take off and run, but still, like
Lamar
Matthew Stafford
have the weapons too that Stafford has. Technically, you could also make that argument.
I'd probably lean Lamar, but that's the biggest toss up probably the entire group. Can I ask something about while I was gone that I felt like?
No, so, actually, you can't.
So
when
you're gone from like the sports stuff, you like you're just all watching it like at a glance. Uh-huh. Is kind of how it feels like.
For sure,
I saw Cags hit 2 home runs. And like, you know, I might pay attention to the games or watch them on game day. You know, it varies a little bit, but like you're watching everything from a glance. The entire time I was gone was every different person and sports person in this town just taking turns, making wild guesses of what they thought were going to happen at the stadiums that culminated in 78 different rumors. I saw legends for the Royals, legends for the Chiefs, renovation for the Chiefs at Jackson County. Royals in Clay County, Royals at Washington Square Park, Royals at the Asperia campus, a public vote for the Chiefs. I saw like 15 different theories all being reported, I think, as like, this is what I'm hearing, rumblings. Mm-hmm. Everyone's getting a lot of rumblings, it felt like, when I was gone. Is that a good way to,
look,
to
there
describe
was some
it
reports,
in the time that I was gone?
There were some reports out there that I think had some interesting elements to them. I said it on, was that Monday or Tuesday? I think the Royals, the Legends thing makes zero sense whatsoever. we'll have to get back into the specifics on that, but I think it makes zero sense. I think the biggest takeaway in the last week or so is all the momentum continues now to suddenly shift towards the Chiefs renovating Arrowhead. I think if we were to like just gauge the like where's the meter leaning update, it's in the last week or two shifted more and more towards Chiefs renovating Arrowhead and staying there. The other update we got, and this was interesting information, I think it was Jonathan Katz who had it first from Fox 4, is that we all know the star bond deadline is Monday. We all knew they could extend it, but the latest is now, not only can they extend it, but they can extend it retroactively. So we could
so
be
it's always a fake
so,
deadline.
So it could be 3 weeks from now and they can say, oh, by the way, yeah, we did it. We did go ahead and extend. They don't have to announce they're extending it. They can retroactively up to a certain period of time.
Cause they know they're not getting the answer by the 31st is what I'm hearing there.
Or the, yeah, yes,
30th, whenever it expires.
Yeah. Monday, I think. Right. So yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're finding out Monday afternoon where they're going, if that's what you're asking. No.
So, yeah, it was just a bunch of rumblings. I will say, the renovated Arrowhead, maybe you and I were talking like off air, I can't remember if it was on air, like 3 weeks ago, it was always the same thing. Like, what I had heard is, like they have a plan for renovated Arrowhead.
I think they do.
They don't actually have, like, as in, like, they have detailed architectural plans,
I'm sure
I believe,
yeah,
for a different plan for a renovated Arrowhead that's not the same as the first
one. Well, we know the dollar amount
and
jumped
blueprints
up.
Blueprints and all. Yeah.
We knew the dollar amount jumped up.
And they don't have that yet for whatever potential site, which meant to me they were probably more serious about the Arrowhead site. But then, like, I don't know. Like, and I don't know. I don't know if, like, is the Clay County thing, is that back in play? I kind of felt like that was gone.
So.
Is that?
I think so.
You think it's either, you think it's Asperia or Washington Square Park?
For the Royals, yes. I just don't, the Legends thing makes no sense to me. They're going to go to the furthest west of the metro area.
That'd be the worst choice of all time.
And you want to draw attendance on weeknights and stuff, and you're asking people from the eastern side of the metro area to go all the way to Legends. They'll do it for a Chiefs game because it's one day.
You eight
think
times.
On a Wednesday night, it doesn't make any sense. You and I both prefer the downtown site. We've said that for years now, whether it was the East Village originally, whether like we've been very
my
much
my second
pro,
site would be the Clay site.
Pro downtown. I like the renderings for the Clay site, but I think if they're not downtown, they would go to the Overland Park site.
So it feels like I didn't miss anything in the stadium front.
No, there's some clarification on a few things, but
it felt like this speculation took like a jump up, maybe because we're getting closer to the deadlines. More people are talking, but it definitely felt like it went like the guessing game took another level in the time in which I was gone. Somebody says the star bond was already extended. Did I miss that?
No, they did not officially announce that it was extended. Again, they said that they can retroactively extend it. We just all know, we just assume that it's going to not technically, this is where technically it's not going to expire because they could announce in 2 months that they retroactively extended it.
What else did I miss on the show while I was gone, by the way? Somebody tried to tell me that Drew tried to mention the Gamecocks and that
didn't
go great. Well,
so I was gone last Friday, Cody. Right?
We do not need to rehash that.
I was gone last Friday. I was gone last Friday.
I didn't know. I don't know anything about it. I'm not kidding.
I'll tell you about it during the break.
It was just Drew and Bink, and they, of course, were talking college football.
Yeah, sure.
And they're talking about their teams they like this season. They're talking about quarterbacks and what Lenoris, whatever his name, Sellers or something.
Yes.
They're talking about him. And all of a sudden, Bink said, oh, you're a very, Drew's a big Gamecocks fan. But he just said,
yes.
And he didn't have the plural attached to it. So he just said, you're a fan.
And I quickly said, I do think the South Carolina Gamecocks can be pretty good this year.
And there's a drop of it, but I don't know if we. I mean, if you have,
I don't
the,
even
if
know
you
if
have
we're allowed
the,
to play
if
it.
You have the S on it, that's what that's their nickname. But the problem is, Bink didn't say have the S on
so
it.
So we're not
he
going.
Said,
to, we're not
a,
going to play.
So we're not
going
to
correct
play the drop. Drew's very concerned about it as well.
Mm-hmm. Is that the majority? Were there any fights?
Bink was
right after he apologized on the air, and he said he's got no problem with me, and he says he's got no beef. After he made fun of my song. Carrington was crushing me for taking vacation time to spend time with my family. Terribly sorry. I wanted to be around my daughter and son for the length of time in which
Everybody
I missed the
Scott
trip.
Parks was saying,
what a monster I am for spending time with my family.
Parks was even saying from over KMZ, he's like, where's Cody coming back to work? People were wondering, man.
He's saying on that side of the building?
People were wondering. Text line was
Dana's
saying
gone for
somebody
a week
asked
sometimes.
If you got fired yesterday on the text line.
Oh, it took that long?
A couple of those started to come in.
Been in trouble a couple of times the last month, but not fired.
No,
nope,
no,
nope, different.
Nope. So, yes. Are you back for the long haul here? Are you?
Yeah, I think so. I don't have any other planned trips at the moment.
Yeah, I think
currently just like, you know, as it sits, there might be a day tomorrow, or two here or there, but you know.
We'll fill you in tomorrow. Every show's doing this. The morning show did it last Friday. Tomorrow we have a football planning day. We are getting set for the fall. We plan out our shows for the fall, et cetera, and what we're going to do differently and for training camp and all that. So tomorrow we are not on the show.
We. The collective, we.
That is true.
We will be here, though. If something breaks, can I reserve the right?
Yes.
Like, if they announce the Royals are building a downtown stadium.
Obviously, we will cancel the meetings and we'll be on the air. Yes.
I was like, can I reserve the right if something really cool happens that maybe I could just pop in there for a few? No, I just, I heard he was bashing me for being gone. Carrington, I will say, Carrington takes vacation in a way I've never seen anybody take vacation in my life. And this is not like, it's not a criticism. It is just an observation. Mm. Carrington takes the same amount of vacation I take in a year, but he takes it 2 days at a time, 52 weeks. It's like, it's the most random smattering of miscellaneous days, never squeezed together. I'm not wrong, am I?
No, you're not.
That's exactly the way he takes it, right?
I couldn't tell you the last time he was gone for a week.
Day here, day there, 2 days here, front and back, half day. He'll just take the most random smattering of days. I've never seen anyone take vacation in that regard. I told you, man. You sit in that dance studio 5 straight days, in that Texas heat. The worst part of the entire trip, easily, is they have a huge production number, and the gigantic set piece they need in order to do that production number had to come down in parts because it's so big, which meant on Sunday morning before their dance in the Texas heat, I essentially had to just do construction work for 2 hours. And you're like, this is the worst.
Dang.
This is miserable. This is hot and sweaty, and I don't want to do it. Like, can I unvolunteer from this? I'll do any other assignment. It got billed in time. It's fine.
Someone from the 913 is happy that you're back. Not going to lie, guys. I did miss the sissy guy's voice while he was gone.
Oh.
From the 913.
Wow.
That's, you know what? They said they missed it, though. I'm taking that as a compliment. They still call it a sissy little voice, but, you know.
All right, guys. Coming up next, we'll get to the 11 o'clock hour. Something that I don't know if fans care as much about as apparently
sketchy.
Some members of the media when it comes to what the NFL is doing. And we'll talk more about the Royals and a name or two that they've been linked to in the trade market. That's coming up here.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
on Cody and Gold. On Cody and Gold, thanks for hanging out with us. We got the full crew back together here on a Thursday. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. 1 hour from now, we hand things off to Vern, his On Deck show, Afternoon Baseball. And boy, oh boy, can the Royals win a freaking home game. They've lost nine in a row. Nine in a row at home. Can they score runs? Can they hit the ball to the infield? I'm serious. These are all things that are facts at this point in time, unfortunately, and observations that we all have seen. Vern will take over at noon, get you set as the Royals and Rays. Can they salvage one, snap the losing streak, and try to get something going this weekend against, oh, you know, just the LA Dodgers?
Please, Papa.
Please.
Dodgers coming to town. Ooh, do we know if Shohei's going to pitch?
I think Saturday.
He essentially, Cassie, that's
like an inning or two.
The temptation to just go watch Shohei, and I've seen him pitch, but like the temptation again to go watch him pitch because it's such a freaking.
We were joking yesterday. We're like, man, if the Royals though, or if they're hitting like this, if even if they say, oh, Shohei's only going to pitch an inning, they might get two because he might only need six pitches to get out of it. Swinging at first swing at bats last night like crazy. So I don't know, man.
Impatient last night. Very
yeah, that was the worst night. Approach, as we said. I think they've had, even though the two nights earlier they got, you know, there was a perfect game against them for five innings. I thought last night's approach to the play was as bad as it's been.
I think you and I saw the same thing yesterday. It's a podcast, a recent podcast episode that had come out from Pablo Torre's podcast, which is Pablo Torre finds out. And like, look, he's got lots of interesting parts of
he's
the podcast.
Deep
and,
on this Belichick Jordan
Hudson part.
Yeah.
And like he uncovers some like silly things sometimes or fun things sometimes. But the most recent episode was on a 50 or 61 page document from the NFL that stated a few things. And what we're trying to figure out is this something that matters to fans and do fans care? Or why aren't players making a bigger deal about it? Because behind closed doors, it feels like a big deal. But at the same time, you and I had the same reaction, which is it feels like something I knew was happening and assumed was happening, and now it's just on paper. What happened in this podcast is this document points out that the NFL, in a behind-closed-door meeting, discussed pay-or-play as a group, which is against the rules for the NFL because that is collusion. You can't, as a group of owners, say, no all-guaranteed contracts, we're getting ripped off, or all sit in a meeting and say, we're all not paying running backs, they're worthless because it could impact the level of players and the way in which they are paid. And this document certainly makes it seem like owners got together and after the Deshaun Watson deal said, no, everybody,
yeah,
no more of that. We're not doing fully guaranteed contracts. This is the NFL, which seems horrible for the players.
There was a text exchange or two mentioned in the documents that showed one owner thanking another owner for not giving a certain player a certain deal. I think it was the Kyler Murray deal or something. And it was, yeah, I can't remember the other owner that was cited, but basically thanking, I guess it would be Bidwell or whatever,
yeah,
thanking him for doing that deal because it made it easier for them to do their deal. It's terrible because it's all right there.
It's definitely collusion. There's no question.
In text messages. But as you alluded to, I don't know if fans deep down care because we all kind of assumed, and we talked about it 3 years ago, 2 years ago, when Watson got the fully guaranteed awful contract. Immediately, we all knew it for Cleveland. At the time, everybody said, oh, there's these other owners are going to hate this. They're going to say, what the heck are you doing? And they are going to make sure that they don't give this type of deal to anybody else. I didn't think they were dumb enough to put it in text messages. But
so
of course, like this idea of, hey, owners doing things in negotiations to make sure that they don't have to become the new, that doesn't become the new standard. Like that happens all the time. You just don't put it in writing. You don't have text messages, conversations about it.
Here's why I think it could end up being important, but also why I think fans don't care. I don't think fans care because it doesn't actually impact any of the play. It doesn't change who wins games, loses games. It doesn't impact the game, right? The game doesn't feel hollow or less truthful or those things. It's just about money. And so, like, in that regards, fans are like, it's just about the owners trying to save a few cents. And in a game in which you could get hurt tomorrow and never play the sport again, you could kind of understand why NFL owners want to limit the number of guarantees as much as humanly possible. The reason why it might actually become a thing is the next CBA agreement, if I'm the players, I'm making a huge stink about this.
Yeah, they always lose in this, though. Like
You should make this the biggest thing on your plate. You guys are openly colluding with the amount of money that we're allowed to get. This is crazy.
Unless they do a drastic shift, though. Typically, the NFLPA is somewhat of a joke. It just is when it comes to these negotiations, man. They end up caving on something that the owners didn't really care to give up anyway. They end up focusing on things that actually are not the bigger picture deal, and the owners end up getting a much better deal. It's the weakest, you know, of the unions, like compared to Major League Baseball's union. It's so weak. And I understand ultimately it's led to there not being stoppages in a long time, which thank goodness, right? And probably on the baseball side, we might be seeing a CBA stoppage.
Everyone seems to think it's coming.
In a couple of years. So I'll say that about the NFLPA. We haven't missed football really for the most part.
But they should be making, if I were like the head of the Players Association as a player or my team's representative, I'd be raising a huge stink about this.
Oh, it'll get brought up. I just like,
hey, don't do that.
Yeah. I mean, like there's just not. And this is why this story did come out a day or two ago. Mike Florio was upset that other outlets weren't covering it more and things like that. It's just like,
feel inside football. Is that the problem?
I think it's
you
a little
get
inside.
Everyone riled up because the owners didn't want to give the players a little extra money.
A conversation for the casual fan about like, hey, they don't want the guaranteed contract. They were talking behind closed doors and text messages colluding to make sure it doesn't happen. I don't know if that's as interesting to the casual fan as it is to diehards or certainly business side of the sport. The reason why it's worth talking about it is we think that everybody kind of assumed the Sean Watson deal was never getting handed out to anybody else again. And if it does, it's going to be somebody down the road, like, you know, it would have been, you know, Patrick Mahomes or, you know, fast forward a decade from now, whoever the top young 27-year-old quarterback is at that time.
It just feels, it honestly, all it does is point out the things I knew. The owners act in Congress together in shady ways.
Yeah,
and that shouldn't honestly surprise us. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, the other part, and someone points out this is fair on the text line. Like someone says, it's not the owners' deed. Well, the owners, it's the fact that the owners did this, but also when you think about the players' union, they knew about it as well, and they agreed basically to hide this document or whatever for a while.
It does seem to like they like the shield part. They've got the players on board for that too, and I don't. That's weird to me. Like, how do you convince, like, because that's like, I understand why people who are in charge, like, it doesn't matter the company, right? It doesn't matter if you work at a large oil company or gas station or radio company. I get why the people in the highest level protect the brand. It's hard getting the lower level people to be like, I better protect the brand that is the company. Oh, come on.
Who even is the Players Association president right now? Or the
person just switched.
Who, yeah.
They did just switch.
It's not Damaris Smith or whatever it is.
Let's see.
It's Jalen Reeves-Maben.
Yeah. That's the most recent guy. Damaris was maybe, and look, maybe there's going to be a change coming. The idea that they helped hide it is hilarious.
Is that who it is? Yeah, I think it's.
That was a quick Google search.
Lloyd Howell Jr., sorry.
Sorry.
And okay. It's executive director and president is Jalen Reeves-Maben. The executive director is Lloyd Howell Jr. It was Damaris Smith or whatever before.
I did hear, and I guess there's two questions that I kind of want to get back to. With the Royals a little bit is, you mentioned, first pitch will come up in a couple of hours.
Yeah.
Vern's On Deck show coming up at noon. So I'm going to ask you this in a second, but then I'm going to ask you something as it relates to this in a conversation I think you guys had yesterday. I want everyone, 913-586-7965, to give me a player that they would love the Royals traded for and a player they'd hate. I think we do a lot of shopping where we're like, oh, I want this guy and this guy. Who's the one you don't want? Because I'm always more fascinated with that, like the fit of the names that have come out. I've already got my answer for that, so I'll give it. But I was thinking more about a conversation you guys had yesterday before we give the names. And like, obviously, any list that right now it says who's everyone going to trade mentions Seth Lugo.
Mm-hmm.
This entire year, let's just say, do you think the Royals would have a better record, the same record, or a worse record if Seth Lugo was off this team and a comparable corner outfield bat was on this team? Because that's the interesting question as it relates to the trade deadline.
Give me an outfielder.
Okay, so the player I love is Eugenio Suarez.
Oh. Yeah.
Is that
he's
enough?
Third baseman / DH.
Yeah. But like...
No, they would have... I still think they'd be worse. Because I don't think they're one... Clearly, they're not just one bat away. Right? I mean, they're not just one bat away. We've seen this, man.
I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out is like, which... Is there a name? Cedric Mullins. If on this team this year, they traded Seth.
Too.
Yeah, but just I'm trying to give a name that's reasonable because Seth Lugo's reasonable. If Cedric Mullins had been on this team this entire year instead of Seth Lugo, would they have the better record, the same record, or worse? Because I kind of think it's the same, and that's inevitably the issue with they can't really trade Lugo. I will say Eugenio Suarez is a name I would love that they trade for. And the player I would hate is Alex Cole. And I'm going to tell you why together. Cole, he's an outfielder for the Nationals. He's been brought up multiple times in multiple national articles as a possible trade candidate for him. And the simple reason is why. The reason why these two guys are different is Alex Cole is a light-hitting defensive corner outfielder. And so help me, if the Royals trade for an outfielder with zero pop, I'm going to lose it. I cannot. They have to trade for a player with power. If they choose the utility outfielder or infielder with no pop, well, then you've just wasted all of our time. This team cannot hit homers, has not hit homers all year, and if any of the trade candidates that I see get mentioned have no pop, get brought into the conversation, I'm gonna die. I'm just not gonna enjoy it. It's going to be a complete oversight by them. And that qualifies to like Cedric Mullins. Well, Cedric Mullins probably got 10 or 12 homers, so he's got enough pop.
Yeah, I'll play along in the conversation. Cedric Mullins got off to a hot start. He's cooled off drastically. He's hitting like 220 now.
Yeah,
he's cooled off big time. But the other problem with Cedric Mullins, and the same thing why I would say I'm not interested in Ryan O'Hearn for a variety of reasons, the rentals. And the only and so is Eugenio Suarez or whatever. The only reason why I would be with Suarez is if you made that move right this second. Not when you're eight back. I don't want them trading for a rental on July 10th if they're 7 under .500. No. But now when they're still three and a half out, if they want to trade for a rental, I'm fine with that. By the way, the rental, Seth Lugo, you're not trading Seth Lugo for a rental player. You better be getting somebody back with some control if you're doing that. And you would, by the way.
Yeah.
The Seth Lugo thing, to answer your question, would they be better or worse without Lugo? No, I think they'd be worse because they're not just one bat away, man. My trade thought at this point, unless it's done in the next 5 to 7 days, is that player needs to have control beyond 2025. Otherwise, okay. I'm not making that move.
So right now on the text line, don't want Ryan O'Hearn, don't want Starling Marte. They said go get one of the Rocky center fielders who they want. Lance says he doesn't want Eugenio Suarez. He wants Jaren Duran.
Well, Duran has a couple years of control, I think. At least one more, if not two more.
And plenty of talent. Someone says time to make that Mike Trout trade, Cody. Again, the only requirement, if they end up making a trade, and I think they should just trade today,
which
we talked
disagree.
About earlier in the show, but it has to be for power. I don't care.
And we run into the problem, though, Cody, is who's trading power right now? The same people that will text in wanting the Royals to sell and wave the white flag. Those other teams aren't doing that either. So, you know, as much as we bring up these names, are the Orioles trading yet? And I know the argument would be like, you got to make them trade. Well, it takes two to tango. I'm not saying clearly. I'm very confident that J.J. Piccolo in the front office has called around.
Yeah.
Very confident saying that. But they can't force somebody to make a trade. Well, overpay. I think they would have to overpay, but that doesn't. You still have to have another franchise willing to make the trade. And a lot of franchises, when the calendar is still in June, are not making the moves.
Yeah.
And don't cite me Rafael Devers. That was a unique circumstance where basically he embarrassed the general manager, where he wasn't happy where he was playing. He wasn't happy they got Bregman. That's a completely different scenario than just a normal trade that we would see around the next month.
I am with you on the control part of it, because the interesting part about that is if I'm giving up one of my better prospects, right? Like Carter Jensen, who just got promoted to AAA because he's having a great year, or Mitchell, or any of the other names that have come up quite a bit as the better players in the Royals. I've even seen like the 18-year-old David Shields.
Yeah. Do you think Jensen got called to AAA to try to start showcasing him for a possible trade? Or do you just think it's his progression and it is not?
I think he was natural timeline fits.
Gotcha.
I mean, I could conspiracy theory it if we want, but the natural timeline hit. He played a normal amount of games I would expect a player to play in AA and perform at the level I would expect to get promoted. So like the progression timeline fits logical circumstances and logical timelines. But it's like, you can't give up a player like that for this year unless you're also sure you get them for next year in case you come up short this year. Look, I don't know if they're going to come up short this year. It certainly is leaning that direction at the moment from the playoffs, but they're still, and this is not to like cover them, they're still only a couple of games out of a playoff spot, so it's not out of the question.
But you would agree,
right? The postseason. But you can't be trading away good prospects only in the hopes of this year catching up.
But you would agree, if they end up going winless on this homestand and back-to-back homestand, then on Monday, it's over. I'm sorry.
I think if you would have lost
13 in a row at the end of this homestand, if they don't get it going today or Friday or Saturday or whatever, then you come in on Monday. At that point, what are they, 4 under right now? So at that point, you're 8 under in this scenario. They would be 8 under .500. Okay, it's at that point, they should be looking to be sellers if this road, this homestand continues the way it's going. Now, if they win today and they win a game or two against the Dodgers, then no. On Monday, I think it would still be the same conversation. They're still kind of in it. Don't need to sell or anything. But if you would have then at that point had a 13 home losing streak and what, an 8-game overall losing streak, and you're 8 under .500, yeah, then it would be time to start selling.
You could sell early, I guess, in that hypothetical, and then at least open up the conversations. I don't know. I feel like they're stuck in a weird spot. You and I had said it to start the show, and I still feel that way, which is just feels like if you're trading to add to your team, you have to be the team that figures out a way to do it early. If you're trading to sell your team, you can wait 3 more weeks and it doesn't change anything. But it's like just standing pat right now. Ugh. That feels so.
I don't think when the dust settles, whether it's middle of July or the deadline at the end of July, like I don't think they're going to not make a move. I think there will be something. Will they trade Lugo? That's still going to be the big wild card. Will they be willing to do it if they're out of it in the middle of the month? And I sure hope they will. If they're actually out of it, and I hope they're not. But if they are, then they absolutely should trade him. You got to get something in. If you think I'm wrong or Cody's wrong on the, hey, well, he's going to opt out and not sign back. Well, then guess what's great? If he chooses to opt out, you can technically still sign him again in the offseason. We brought up the example of Flaherty from the Tigers. Like, it's not likely, but there's nothing that prevents you from bringing him back, even if you trade him. So you got at least get something for him if this team ends up getting out of it the next week or two.
In a weird way, that's like best case scenario. You trade him away, he opts out, and then you just give him more money again and bring him back. Maintain your rotation, get the player back with control that you wanted in place of it, and then continue down this same path again. I do find it fascinating that two of the biggest names in the corner outfield trade market are two guys who failed here.
Yep.
Brent Rooker and Ryan O'Hearn both failed here.
Yeah, and I understand other organizations have examples of guys that went on and had success elsewhere. But obviously, considering right now your offense is a franchise worst, it's obviously not great to see two of these guys out there.
In a weird way, it's like, so you weren't like crazy in the talent that you were eyeing. I'm just like, if I were looking at those, I would have very serious questions about like, what the hell are we doing in the hitting development? Like, what are we doing wrong that these guys who were like, oh, this guy's got it. He can play. I can see that he plays. It makes sense. For the A's, Brent Rooker's really worked. For the Orioles, Ryan O'Hearn's really worked. We saw it the whole time, and now it's immediately there. But like, it just feels like very similar players.
Well, it goes back to the conversation that we've had the last couple of days and going back even a few weeks, which is, your hitting approach, your hitting philosophy, your hitting coaches. Guess who was working with Ryan O'Hearn in the minors a lot?
Yeah.
Alex Zumwalt.
And I guess this is what's funny is like they never even gave Brent Rooker a chance. He played 14 games for this team. He immediately hit 30 home runs the next year for the A's. He didn't even play for this team. They didn't even like take a good, strong look at him.
Yeah.
And tried O'Hearn to see what it is.
O'Hearn and Rooker, as we've talked before, though, are a little two different scenarios, Like, Ryan O'Hearn got every opportunity here. Mm-hmm. Brent Rooker got a handful of at-bats. It's a little bit different, but the end game, I get what you're saying. Now they're both having success.
For Rooker, so, like, they obviously liked the talent they saw on paper and thought, this is going to work inside our system.
But he only got a cup of coffee.
He
got fewer than 50 at bats in the organization.
In fairness, Ryan O'Hearn was given more than a fair shake here in Kansas City.
No doubt. I also think O'Hearn's in a perfect ballpark right now for him.
Me too.
And give him credit, right? He's having success. Props to him. Bro Hearn. Let's get to the trash of the day.
Still got me blocked. Think he gets traded back to Kansas City? Think he'll unblock me?
No.
Let's start anew.
No. What are you going to go talk to him in the clubhouse and apologize?
He doesn't even remember who I am.
Yeah, you're never getting unblocked.
No.
Bill Snyder's not unblocking you. I still think that's, if you want to put in one of the worst knocks on your, like, I guess, social media presence.
My personality.
Getting blocked by Bill Snyder. You know, by the way, everybody agrees, that's on you, man. That's on you. It's definitely not on the Hall of Fame coach, Bill Snyder. That's on you.
The guy who writes handwritten notes to people.
That's clearly on you. Anyway.
Do anything.
All right. Let's go to Burlington, Vermont. None of us have been there, I don't think.
No.
Their city council's approved a new ordinance aimed at curbing nudity downtown. Here's the exact issue.
Is that a common problem?
They're trying to crack down on, I guess, cracks being shown a little bit.
Well written. Britain.
Counselors say there have been multiple reports of incidents in recent years of indecent exposure in public areas. Under Vermont law, Burlington police are limited. Now counselors say the ordinance is aimed to strike a balance. Nudity is not illegal in Burlington or the rest of the state, as long as, of course, you do not undress in public or harass others. Last week, they hosted the annual World Naked Bike Ride. That sounds extremely uncomfortable. Extremely uncomfortable.
I got to say, I think that would chafe in areas you don't want chafed.
That sounds so uncomfortable.
How long is the bike ride, man?
The seats on bikes are uncomfortable when you got full clothes on.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, yeah. I don't think so. I don't think there's enough baby powder to make that a comfortable situation.
You go over anybody. You go over a bump.
They have decided that there are so many issues of people
being
with their
nude
ass out downtown.
Yeah.
That they want a new city ordinance
to crack down.
And I mean, it's just a butt. Just like, you know, come on. It's fine. We gotta really have a whole. What's the ordinance going to say? That I can take them to jail? I don't want people going to jail for this.
Well, you get a ticket, cited or whatever, and I mean, I don't know about you. You don't want people just walking around downtown.
I do agree. The way this is written, it sounds like it's a common occurrence
in Burlington, Vermont.
Uh-huh. Of all the places, too, that's the part that's really confusing me. Downtown Burlington, Vermont.
What do you think? It's got a good reputation or something there?
I don't know. I don't know. It just seems like a weird downtown area for this to be a consistent nuisance enough that they feel the need to do it.
Look, that was the story I had. There was one more that I didn't know if we wanted to get to. I thought this one, I didn't want to out Drew too much on this. Maybe he's trying to stay undercover. Uh-oh. There's a issue at a Quick Stop in Duncanville, Alabama. This happened on Sunday. A thief dressed in a Scooby-Doo costume broke into a store, set off the security alarm, smashed it, stole coins, cash, somehow left snacks untouched.
You're supposed to solve crimes.
How tall are you?
5'11". 6 foot.
This guy, the witness said 5'9". But again, we know you're a Mr. Scooby-Doo fan, so I didn't know. I thought this one maybe hit home for you.
I have not been in Alabama recently.
He fled before officers arrived, probably while saying, "Rut-row."
No way.
Dressing up in a Scooby-Doo costume. Then you got to burn it. You don't even get to have it anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's true. Just resolving crimes.
Just gone forever.
Not committing them.
It seems like I missed, honestly, very little sports news in the time I was gone. And I texted you guys about one piece of sports news, and it was that Casey Wolf was retiring.
Yes.
I had seen the original.
We talked about the story, yes.
Dan Mears?
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
You were saying
you wanted Chiefsaholic to become.
I said they could put him on a tether.
Yes.
Do it like a work release program.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, Scooby-Doo robbed a store, it sounds like, and did not grab any snacks, which is surprising.
That is surprising, honestly. Missed opportunity.
Terrible.
If you might get caught for the crime anyway, why not just also, like, it's way funnier, at least when you go to jail, if you say you also stole
Scooby-Doo
some snacks.
And I stole snacks.
Yeah, yeah. Way funnier.
Scooby snacks.
Gotta have a good story in the house.
All right, that is the trash of the day. Up next is a little Chiefs Red Half Hour. Let's talk about the tight end position, the plan moving forward for this organization. Then we'll get back into the Royals as we hand things off to Vern for some afternoon baseball here on 96.5.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you.
No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Fan.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder.
Coming up in about a half hour, we hand things over to Vern, his on-deck show, Afternoon Baseball. Royals trying to salvage one against the Rays.
Please.
Trying to salvage a home win in the month of June as well. So that's coming
your
way.
A few more days to do it.
Yeah, they're got four left. Four left to try to avoid going 0-4 at home in the month of June. It has been just horrendous, as we've been talking about, obviously. Throughout the week, with where things are at home specifically, but offensively, this has been a conversation for the entire season. Let's talk a little Chiefs football here, though. The training camp dates are out there. We are going to be up in St. Joe for, I think, 11 to 12 shows or so throughout training camp, and obviously hope to see some of you up there. We're going to get Drew up there for the first time, I think, a couple times as well, so he can, as we said, see what a championship-caliber training camp looks like. None of this Cincinnati crap that
he's used to. Not a bunch of grab ass or whatever they're doing there.
Yeah, none of that. Complaining about contracts.
Do they do theirs at a different site, or they do theirs at the facility?
They do theirs at the facility.
First bad sign, you know?
I mean, in fairness, the Chiefs are one of only like four teams that go away now. I think there's down to four or five.
And they're reportedly going to be upgrading, you know, the facilities there, which is nice. They hopefully don't have to walk across the street anymore. Or anything
they paid
like
Shamar
that.
Stewart yet?
Nope.
No.
They have not.
As a matter of fact, I'm starting to lean more towards the Bengals side of things than Shamar Stewart.
What?
Oh, yeah.
They're trying to change the contract language.
We've talked about this enough already.
It's discussion.
Norman Lott for the Chiefs is still not signed. The difference is you don't hear much about it.
Because one man is practicing and one's not.
And one's talking to the media and one's not. One organization's not trying to embarrass the player and leak stuff out that makes him look bad. There's a whole different scenario. Anyway, let's talk about the tight ends heading into training camp.
Well, obviously it's been standing out, not just because tight end you was this previous weekend, and I guess everyone got a private showing from Taylor Swift, apparently.
How cool is that?
Which is pretty sweet if you ended up going. I'll say that's the first performance she's done since the Eras tour ended. And if you just happen to be at Tight End U, get a couple of songs from Taylor Swift. Why not? You know, introduced by Kane Brown or whatever it was over the weekend. But Tight End U and all this other stuff. And then you're realizing, I'm like, the Chiefs, once again, and I think I thought about it at the draft, but then I got hung up on the running backs and some other spots that seemed to matter. They did nothing to future address their aging tight end, who Patrick Mahomes this offseason has said, if it's his last year, he's not acting that way. Travis Kelce's not committed to it being his last year. He's obviously worked hard to get in even better shape than he normally is and all this other stuff that kind of goes with it. The lack of future plan in tight end does make me wonder more than ever. I got 2 years left of Travis Kelce? I'm at like 30-35% officially. I've moved up that there's 2 more years left of Travis Kelce. Not one. Because of the lack of future planning always makes me wonder, do they know something we don't? Do they feel a certain way that we don't? Because the only future planning you could argue is the Noah Gray extension, which I could say they might have signed even if they knew Travis Kelce was going to stay here a couple of years.
Obviously, we know Kelce's contract is up at the end of the season. We played, I think when you were gone, Cody, Kelce spoke and was not closing the door on playing past this season or anything like that. Just said, hey, my contract's up at this year, and then we'll kind of see where things are at. I think a lot of it's going to be dictated on the end result of the season, his performance and his health, obviously.
Sure.
Let's remember, too, the financial element to this. I think we both agree that if he doesn't play in Kansas City, then he's not playing anywhere. He's going to retire as a Chief one way or the other.
Agreed.
So I think the Noah Gray extension, if you told me, though, do they have a plan for 2 years beyond this? And I would say right now that would be clearly Noah Gray because of the extension.
That would be the last year of his extension, wouldn't it?
I think it would go into the final year of it. Yeah. Noah Gray had last year 40 catches, 437. If you told me that Noah Gray had to be the starting tight end in 2026, I think he could be a 650 yard tight end for them, and they would need to draft one for the future after that. Well, I mean, other than that, yeah, I mean, we're talking about Jared Wiley, who they liked last year, but he got hurt. He's still recovering from an injury. And then it's just a bunch of dudes. Let's be real.
Yeah,
like Jake Brenningstuhl, who people at camp will act like he's going to be a future Hall of Famer because he makes a great catch. There's not no disrespect to him, but that'll be the story. And then the all name team, Jaquarius Spivey, who they also signed.
I don't think that matters. And look, I understand like, they took Jared Wiley and we didn't get to see him play. But I gotta be honest, when we're talking like solutions for long-term plans, let's just talk left tackle, wide receiver. I don't know, half of the positions, 70% of the positions, I would say. If you take him in the fourth round, that's not future planning. That's taking shots. Like you're taking a shot at Jared Wiley.
I think, take
fourth round tight ends because you're like, you're planning on getting a good blocker
in
run fits.
You're not
looking for your solution at tight end. I'm not saying you can't find it there occasionally, but you're not actively looking for the long-term solution at that. You're taking chances.
I think we have to realize too, though, we've been fortunate in Kansas City over the last 30 years. They've ended up with two of the greatest tight ends of NFL history. That does not happen. There was a gap. I get it. Gonzalez left and they drafted guys like Brad Cottom and others. And so it wasn't directly Travis Kelce, but that gap was pretty short.
Cottom here is,
so
what I
think we have to change our minds. Look, I hope we fast forward 3 years, two years from now, and they have found the next best tight end in football and the next top 10 tight end and all that. I hope that's the case, but that's not usually how it goes for most franchises. So when you're asking, have they found a replacement years down the road? Noah Gray is under contract this year. He's under contract in 2026
and, seven,
and right. in 2027. So if you tell me that they have a league average tight end for 2 years, that's what most teams have. I know we're not used to that in Kansas City.
You're saying that's enough future planning
and
to cover it.
And if there's a year in a draft where they love a tight end, then go spend a premium pick then. Maybe it's next year. Maybe it's in 2026. But in 2026, if you told me they're starting tight end, while it wouldn't be Travis Kelce necessarily, but it was Noah Gray, I'd say, yeah, they have a league average tight end. Most teams are fine with that, especially if Worthy ends up developing the way we think he is. If Rice bounces back, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think it's like this problem that that they don't have the best tight end in football.
I'm not even saying
every
that.
Single
just,
year.
The lack of planning makes me wonder whether or not it is. And maybe the plan is, and I see the text line say this, and I had written this in the rundown too, from the 620, I just think the solution is Rice and Worthy. And that they're going to steer away from, we have tight ends, and instead I shouldn't be looking at the tight ends they have under contract, but instead they have spent a second and a first round pick on wide receivers each of the last 2 years, and they're going to go about it the more normal way for the reason that you just mentioned.
Yes. But you're going to have hopefully some top tier wide receiver play.
Yeah, and if that's the plan, that would actually, I actually buy that more than their plan is just Noah Gray. A 3 year extension, 2 years of control, and I'll just be honest, typical contracts, the last year of the deal means nothing. So, like, in my opinion, they only really have 1 year after this one left of Noah Gray. The last year of an NFL contract, do you know how rarely the last year of any NFL contract actually gets played as is? It's so few. So, like, we can point out that he's under contract for that, but under normal circumstances, we would be talking about that year like it doesn't mean anything.
How
past rookie deals.
How young is Noah Gray? Like, what is he, like, 27, 28? Because I think that if
he is 26.
If Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy are part of the solution, I think Noah Gray is included in that, but they're not relying on Noah Gray to replace Travis Kelce as much as he's just the fourth option. He would become the third or fourth option in your offense, which is just a mediocre, solid 600, 700 yard tight end.
So I think his ceiling's a league average tight end.
Yeah, someone said, why aren't you acknowledging Jared Wiley? Guys, let's just be realistic. We haven't seen him play. So he can be a pleasant surprise. He's coming back from an injury, acting like he is the future plan, like definitively or anything like that would be crazy. crazy. He was drafted, as Cody mentioned, in the fourth round, and he missed basically the entire season due to injury. So counting on him for the future, like, that's just why are we not factoring him in? Because it's a complete, it was a wild card even if he was healthy last year.
Can I point out the other thing about Jared Wiley that I guess the text line seems to be ignoring? He was a blocking tight end in college, not a receiving tight end. He played 5 years of college football. Five! He played in 60 games and had 1,000 yards. He's Travis Kelce now? Hell, he's not even Noah Gray. They shouldn't even be lumped in together. He is a blocking tight end. I'll just tell you right now, this is something that is different than probably the way we operate because we're not in the building. And the way fans operate for the things I think you pointed out before, Cole, which is like the fantasy football aspect of football. Teams, NFL teams, value blocking tight ends more than we care about them. They'll take blocking tight ends in the fourth or fifth round.
What we also do sometimes is, well, Travis Kelce was hurt his rookie year. So Travis Kelce, I think we all know based on his career, he's kind of the outlier. He's literally the greatest tight end in NFL history. So trying to make a comp and say like, oh, this is the same path for Jared Wiley.
That's like anytime a bad quarterback has a bad rookie year, they're like, Peyton Manning threw a lot of picks when he was a rookie. You're like, okay, sure.
You can always find it. Brock Purdy was drafted as Mr. Irrelevant. So if pick a franchise drafts a quarterback in the seventh round, he might be just as good as Brock Purdy.
It's like the Rashard Smith conversation in a way with Isaiah Pacheco, where, I mean, I think he actually has a legitimate shot to get playing time, where Jared Wiley, to your point, Cody, that's not who he is. Yeah.
I got nothing against him as a player, and I hope that he works out, but he's a blocking tight end.
Last year at camp, in fairness, we talked about him before the injury, and what did we say? We said, hey, he can help them in the red zone. And that could still be the case, but anything more than that right now, considering the injury, I think would be very, very optimistic and completely a dart throw. But we did have conversations at camp that, hey, maybe this is a guy that helps him in the red zone. He didn't have an opportunity to do that. But then, if that's what we think he is, then we're back in the same Jody Fortson type of category conversations we had for 3 years on this show and with everybody.
Yeah, I think so. We don't have to fall in love with random players. Yeah.
Now the text line's just joking. They're like, well, Kittle was the fifth round. Yeah, exactly. We can play this game all day long. There are outliers at every position, every single position. There was also MLB prospects that were not drafted in the first three rounds that turned out to be Hall of Famers. I mean, there are outliers, yes.
My point is not that you can't find starters in those rounds, but that's not where you search for long-term solutions regularly. I think when you're like really looking for solutions, you take those guys in the first three rounds. You're like, we need a Travis Kelce replacement. You take those guys in the first three rounds. We need a starter at left tackle. You take those guys in the first wide receiver. You take those guys. And then after the fourth round, you do hope to find starters. You hope to find Trey Smith. You hope to find those players. Of course you do. But it's not the position in which you're banking on the same level of this is the replacement player, hopefully, for this. And not replacement in the replacement for Travis Kelce to me is not replace Travis Kelce in the stats
for
and
sure.
the number. It's you have a starting tight end that you rely on every day in concert together all the time. It's just, it's just a little bit different. That's all. Now we got people just talking about somebody called him Blake Bell. And then now the text line, and I didn't say this from 816. Then why not trade for Pitts? Someone earlier on the text line said Cody's going to say they should trade for Pitts. I want to make it very clear.
I finally got Cody.
I'm off it. I'm off of the trading for Kyle Pitts. This is exactly when they'll do it, by the way. They will actually trade for him after I'm off of it. They'll sign him in the offseason or something. Next offseason.
Okay.
He'll end up being a Kansas City Chief somehow after I'm finally off it.
At that point, when you can get him off the street, maybe, yeah.
Then you're back in?
Well, because then it's
this
nothing.
Is going to be funny. You'll be in.
That point.
We'll come full circle on this show. I'll have spent years. And then if he has a good year, then I will say, if in 12 months from now, they sign free agent Kyle Pitts to be a tight end, and he has like a 1,000-yard season, I am going to go back to it would have worked the whole time here in Kansas City. If he's, they should have probably just done it.
From the 615. Well, Bob Berkentine was a factory worker before he scored 2 touchdowns in the NFL.
It always kind of comes down to that. You know what? We're a month away from training camp? When's the first training camp date? When are you and I going to be up
there? I think the 21st or 22nd is when we're up there.
Less than a month.
Yeah, the 23rd, I think, is the first open to the public day. I don't know. Don't count me on those dates, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah. Just curious. Didn't know which step we're going to before. You think the Royals are going to get a win today at Kauffman? Does the losing streak, what's it, 8 games now at Kauffman?
9.
9 game losing streak at Kauffman Stadium in today? I think you should. When's the last time you gone? Have you gone at any time during this 9 game losing streak?
I have not. We have a meeting after the show today. The reason why it's very hot outside, I'm wearing jeans, not just because
I thought that was it.
I'm wearing jeans because there's a chance I'm going to the press box today, and you know, you're not supposed to wear shorts or whatever, I guess, even though it's 100 degrees outside. So I might go to the game to answer your question. I have not gone. Today, if you're just wondering where the betting markets are, the Royals are slight dogs, +106. The Rays are -124. The total for the game is 10. So they think the Rays are doing all the scoring, or what?
Who's making the pick for Vern?
10?
Can I jump in? I've made a pick for Vern in a couple weeks since I was gone. Can I jump in? I'm going to take the under of that.
The Royals' total runs today, over under is 4.5. They score in 5 today. I hope they do. Again,
I'm taking the total.
The Rays over under is 5.5.
If the Royals score 5, would you guarantee a win?
Yes, absolutely. That's the thing. They get good enough pitching. Even with Lorenzen on the mound. If the Royals scored 5 runs today, oh, this will come back to bite me. They're not losing. Okay.
I mean, their record is still really good when they score 5 runs.
Yeah, if they score 5, they're winning.
They're not losing 9-8.
But I also know if they score 1 or 0, and definitely 0, they're not winning. You know, it's amazing how the math works out there. So, I don't know, man. Yes, I actually think they win today. I really do. I really do.
This team, when its back is really against the wall, they do typically find a way. But, like, it feels like their back is really against the wall now, because just in order to make the playoffs, they legitimately have to play, what, 7 or 8 games above 500 the rest of the way? Give or take, maybe 8 or 9 games above 500 the rest of the way to cover the 4 or 5 games below 500 they are now, and the 4 or 5 games above 500 we think they'll have to be in order to get the final playoff spot. They got to play 8, 9 games above 500 the rest of the way. There's not like, it's June.
Yep.
It's not July yet. There's not no time to catch up. There's not, I think you said before the show, too many teams to pass. None of that exists. But, like, you will the rest of the way. We know this is a fact. Have to play 8 or 9 games above 500. So, like, I'd probably start that now. I'd probably begin that process soon.
Yeah, I think they're a team that's going to fluctuate between 3 under and 3 above .500 the rest of the season.
I'm fully prepared for the Royals win for you to claim that your presence back on the show would...
Too much winning and losing while I was gone.
Yeah.
It was like...
Yeah, they also did win when he was in Texas right there.
Correct, yeah. Yeah.
But you didn't go to the game. You didn't go to the game.
When I was in Texas, they played well against Texas.
You were in the area. That's what you should claim.
I will say.
So what if they lose today and then they'll sweep the Dodgers because baseball's weird? I mean, that would be a very baseball thing, and it's not completely unheard of. I know, as nuts as that sounds.
Massive regret. The day Cags hit the homer, that was, which day was that? Thursday or Friday?
Oh, that was last... Wait, was it last Wednesday or something?
I don't remember.
What day was it that Cags hit his home?
Oh, it was Wednesday because we were off Thursday. I was bummed I didn't get a chance to talk about it. It was last Wednesday or Thursday. I can't remember. Yeah.
Maybe it was Thursday. It was a day game. No, so it must have been Juneteenth.
It was Thursday because you were gone on Friday.
It was a day game. Yes.
Juneteenth. That was Thursday.
What it was.
Okay.
It's actually a pretty good day for me to go. My daughter, she was at her national dance competition. On Thursday, she didn't have any dances.
Oh.
So she herself... Man. Did not dance on Thursday.
You were right there, and you couldn't complain about the heat. The Rangers Stadium is a Menards, basically.
I could have and talked about. I could have easily and talked about. Go, now, look, I tried to go catch some of the other kids' dances as much as I can. You can't bat 1,000% on that, but I definitely strongly consider going to a game. I could have easily been at CAG's 2-home-run game. I'm so mad at myself. I had instant regret because. At no other point would I have been fortunate enough to have been in the city, and the Royals happened to be in Texas while I was in Texas. It makes sense to just go to a Royals game, to go to a Rangers game, because at the very least, the Royals happen to be playing in a town. I just, I hate it. Hate it. A lot of regrets. A lot of regrets about not going to that game. It was cool to see him hit 2 homers. I'd like him to keep hitting a lot more now.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers aren't great. Numbers aren't great for him right now, but the numbers aren't great for many guys in the lineup. And why would I think that the rookie would be the guy that would be hitting well on a team that's historically bad offensively?
20 games into his big league career.
I'm surprised, obviously, with how he's hitting, but when I see everybody else is struggling at the plate, well, I mean, truly, like, why would you think the rookie should be the guy that's hitting better than anybody else?
I don't. I don't put more pressure on him than I do the veterans of the team that... they've tried to press a lot of buttons, man. And every day it feels like Groundhog Day. We watch the Royals... come up to the plate, score like 2 runs, pitch really well, lose. And they're not losing so many games that they're just like, I expect them to lose every game. But if the bats aren't there in that day and you feel it very early on for them, it's like if they don't get a run in the first three innings, it's like, well, I'll wait till the seventh and see if they get any. But it feels like they go through these big, long scoring droughts. Texans give me a hard time from the 816. Cody dropping the ball. Shocking. I don't know. I mean, would you have gone?
Yes, you were in, you were 10. Cody, I know where Arlen, you were 10 or 15 minutes from the ballpark. You were right there.
Oh, my goodness. This is tough.
And you would have got to see a new ballpark. You know, I know you like doing that, too.
I do like going to new ballparks. I don't remember what it was. Maybe that was the day we went to the zoo. I think Desmond went to the zoo that day. He really wanted
to. Yeah, because we don't have any animals here in Kansas City at our zoo.
Our zoo's better.
Uh-huh.
My baseball here, too. Oh, our zoo's way better than theirs. I went to the Fort Worth Zoo.
But here's the thing, Cody. Baseball, something different can happen every day. For the most part, the giraffe is not going to do much different today than it will next
week.
You
can feed the giraffes there, though, at their zoo.
We can at ours?
I don't know.
Well, see? You might be able to.
I don't know. I will say, our penguin exhibit, 50 times better than theirs.
Really?
Theirs was just a stinky shack with like six penguins.
Well, there's been
in
a lot of renovations at the Kansas City Zoo here over the years.
I know. I want to go to the aquarium.
I still haven't. I know.
Desmond, his favorite things were he got to see the lion was asleep next to the glass. He was right next to it. And then we went to go look at cheetahs, and he was teasing them.
Come
get me a cheetah. I'm like, what are you, nuts? This thing gets out of this cage once. You're the first thing he's picking off. Don't tease cheetahs. Kids, man.
Well, good to have you back. I know you put in a long day of work today, a two-hour show. You know, tomorrow we got a planning day. You know, it's good to good to have you back.
It's tough getting back to work, you know?
By the way, tomorrow, truly, we are planning some fun stuff for the fall, some other ideas we got. So
this came up after I made
my vacation
plans.
Every show's doing it on different days. Tomorrow's our day, so we are off tomorrow from the on-air component.
Full show again on Monday.
Yep. Vern, get you set for the Royals and Rays coming up next.
The temperature's rising outside, but you can stay cool and comfortable inside with Blinds.com. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, and no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com makes it easy. Our virtual design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for total convenience, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't miss Blinds.com's 4th of July mega sale happening now. Save up to 50%, plus get a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.